while to identify, Peter. It's all right. Excuse me. Go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I was only saying that today we start a new month. April is gone, but not forgotten. Because, ladies and gentlemen, April showers have left behind a big drip. And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is the 1st of May again, Harry. Time sure flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does, Fred.
Well, that's life, Harry. You start off with somebody putting a milk bottle in your mouth. The next thing you know, somebody's putting a Social Security card in your hand. It's all over.
What are you crabbing about, Alan?
There's no R in this month. You know crabs are not good in this month. You deliberately introduce a crustacean note here. Well, give us that line again, as only you can give it, unfortunately.
What are you crabbing about, Alan?
Wasn't any better.
I didn't know. Give it again. Now, let's see. Let's decide. Now, let's find out. All right, let's have...
What are you crabbing about, Alan?
Now he's getting so. If we just... What we really should do is let him holler that for about 10 minutes, and you and I go and sit down. Well, I didn't have a reason for crabbing, Mr. Van Steeden, but now that you're here, I'm all set.
Oh, I'm Little Casino again.
Yes? Get back. What difference? All the lines are the same. You don't get... I don't know. Why don't you get a shirt to go with that suit? I mean, that is a... Look at the collar hanging out there with a tuxedo yet. You either ought to get a shirt with a smaller collar or get some moths to eat away part of the lapel. Get in there. But I... And that fake dandruff he's got there. Ever catch a... They ever... He chews up little confetti and puts it on there so people will think he's... They ever catch you on the Vitala show with a coat collar like that, you're through, you know. Well,
I'll keep you up to date on this, Pete. Before you came in, Fred was lecturing here on the futility of life.
Oh, what's wrong with life? All those pictures and snappy ads? For a dime, what more do you want?
Life to you is just a magazine, Van Steeden.
What else?
Now, look, it's all right to be ignorant, but to be ignorant of one's own ignorance. Oh, that's ignorance.
All right, you think I'm dumb, eh, Alan?
Frankly, I do.
Have you ever talked to Phil Harris?
Oh, no, no. Phil Harris isn't really any dumber than you, is he, Pete?
Well, all I know is Phil Harris calls me Professor.
Oh, no, brother. No, brother.
Oh, yes.
The only man who can give you three distinct inflections in a word with three letters. You left that word, yes, up in the air. I thought you were spitting through a trapeze or something. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Van Steeden. I will bet you that Phil Harris doesn't think life is a magazine.
Oh, Phil's from the West. He thinks life is what you get for killing people.
What do you two schmaltzy Stokowskis know about philosophy anyway?
Oh, yeah? Phil and I left Einstein at 4 o'clock this morning.
Three of you thrown out of Lindy's again, huh? How is Al these days? All right. We've had enough fun now, boys. Now for some serious comedy lines.
What is your definition of life, Harry?
Oh, well, I haven't one, Pete, but... Colonel Stutenagel used to say that life was what, if you didn't live it, insurance men would be in a business that wasn't.
I don't get it.
Oh, well, that's no problem.
What's
give
your...
Give us the crab line again. I think that's the best one. Right in the middle of page two. See, that's him. Well, no, don't bother with it. Once he's through with the line, it withers up and gives up. Don't.
What are you crabbing about, Alan?
All right.
This is where I came in.
All right, let's not bother with the rest of it. Give us a fanfare, fellas. We won't. Don't bother. I kind of don't bother with the rest of it, Pete, because... You have reached a peak. I mean, nothing can happen now that will not be a revival. The Ipana News presents The World in Review. Des Moines, Iowa. People... Say, a lot of people miss Bo Carter. What's the... Speakers at annual convention of the American College Publicity Association stress need for more and better publicity on colleges. Publicity men say cooperation of press and other media is required to let public know what colleges and universities are doing. Ipana News questions little-known educators, old grads, and students to get opinions on college publicity requirements. Professor Eustace Knobb of Wahoo U advocates roadside advertising for colleges.
Yes, indeed. I am experimenting, putting little signs along the road with continuity, like those shaving cream ads.
What sort of signs, Professor?
Verses like this. In later life, if you want knowledge, enroll today at Wahoo College.
Well, how long would that stretch?
That verse ran a mile.
A mile.
But I can write jingles for any distance.
What is the longest college jingle you've written so far?
I wrote one last week. It went clean across the state of California.
Really? How did it go?
I'll recite it for you. A boy named Roe was pretty slow. A million things he didn't know. He went to college, bound to learn. Today he heads a big concern. Our school can do the same for you. Usted Pablo que sabe tortillas, buenas noches, señoritos, señores, si si enchilados, Wahoo.
What is that? What is that finish there?
Spanish.
Spanish in California?
My last three signs ran over into Mexico.
Oh. That explains everything except why you're here. And thank you, Professor Eustace Knobb. An ex-college girl who was the first student to ever try stunt advertising for her college is Mrs. Nenke Fegg. You are a graduate of what school, Mrs. Fegg?
Fumfet Normal, class of Art 11.
Fumfet Normal, the hillbilly Bryn Mawr? I often wondered how a Fumfet Normal became so popular.
Why, I put it on the map.
Really? Well, how did you do it?
Goldfish.
Goldfish?
Yes, I started swallowing goldfish.
Oh, you were the one. I remember now.
Yes, for 2 years I kept my alma mater in the public eye. I swallowed 20 goldfish a day.
Phenomenal.
I still hold the record, 14,600 goldfish. That was 20 years ago.
And today?
Today I am happily married and have two lovely sons.
Congratulations. After swallowing 14,600 goldfish, you felt no ill effects in later life, Mrs. Fegg?
None whatever. Both of my boys have fins for arms. But that, of course, is no concern of mine.
Well, no, naturally. Well, are your sons doing well?
Exceptionally well. This is their third year with Mr. Ripley.
Proving that advertising certainly pays. And thank you, Mrs. Nanky Fay. If colleges resort to advertising methods used successfully today by moving picture theaters, freak attractions, and burlesque shows, we may soon see barkers outside of colleges. If a barker one day appears in front of Harvard College, he may sound something like this.
All right, now gather in a little closer, men. I want to tell you what's going on the inside. This is Harvard College, men, the oldest university in the country today. Now, you don't want to go through life a dope, men. Step inside. Harvard will smart you up, men.
What's in there, mister?
The little man wants to know what's on the inside. I'll tell you, sir. Enroll, and here's what you're going to get on the inside. Harvard's got a grand galaxy of multiple intellect. 45 red-hot professors. Now, I'm showing you one of the professors at this free exhibit. Come out, Prof.
Yes, Red.
Draw him some Latin, Prof.
De gustibus non est disputandum.
There you are, men. That is Latin. And you get it on the inside. Okay. Okay, you say Latin ain't enough. You want more for your tuition. Okay, men, you like to sing. On the inside, Harvard's got a glee club. Let it go, boys.
Sweet Adeline.
All right. Break it up, boys. Break it up.
If you don't like singing.
The gentleman says he don't like singing. Okay, men, if you don't want to sing, Harvard gives you sports. Rattle off them sports, coach.
Baseball, football, basketball, rowing, track, lacrosse, and hockey.
And you play them all on the inside. All right. All right. You say Latin, singing, sports ain't enough, men. Here's what I'm going to do. You spend 4 years in Harvard, and I'm giving away free, absolutely free, a beautiful sheepskin diploma. Here's the sheep man. Enroll today, and in 1944, any part of this sheep is yours. Move in a little closer, men. Let the lady by there. Now, before I close this big free exhibit, I'm going to show you what Harvard guarantees. This boy here is finishing his 4-year Harvard course. Show the folks what you was like 4 years ago, son. Enough. There you are, men. That's how this boy was when he came to Harvard. After 4 years of higher education, show him how you are today, son. There you are, folks.
He's doing the same thing.
Right, lady, but he's doing it 2 tones higher. That's what higher education can do for you, and you can get it on the inside at Harvard. Right this way, follow me in.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merrimacks to sing for you. Take your girlie to the movies.
Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. There's no little brother there who always squeals. You can say an awful lot in 7 reels.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the first in a series of plays which did not win the Pulitzer Prize. Tonight's little saga of big business is entitled Button, Button, Why All the Buttons? The scene, the office of a tycoon of big business. Good morning, M.H.
Good morning, F.A.
What's the idea of all these buttons on my desk, M.H.?
We just had them installed, F.A., to increase our efficiency. Now, this is the electric time button.
It is now 9:15, and what have you accomplished? Get to work.
Well, I am...
And this button is your reminder button.
Appointment with Mr. McBackdrop at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And don't forget that banquet tonight with Mr. Angus McCohen.
Banquet? How can I face a banquet tonight when I can't even face work this morning? I feel duller than a butter knife. And I've got a headache that all these buttons here don't help one bit.
If you'll excuse me for pointing, F.A., this is your advice on feeling under par button.
Whenever you start the day off feeling grouchy and headachey, remember this.
Get that a little clearer, M.H. I don't want to miss a word of that.
For that under par sluggish feeling, remember, a glass of sparkling sal hepatica.
That was China Boy, the unbreakable version, played by Confucius Van Steeden and his Hong Kong hotshots. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is a... Oh, hello, Portland.
Hello. Am I late?
Well, I wouldn't know. Since daylight saving time came in, I'm all mixed up.
Mama is, too. Every place Mama goes, she's either an hour late or an hour early.
Well, didn't she set her clock up an hour Saturday night?
Mama tried to, but it's an electric clock. Sparks kept coming out.
What did she do?
Mama called up the powerhouse and asked them to shut down a minute till she moved up the clock.
Well, did they?
No. The man said if he shut down the powerhouse, the lights would go out and Mama couldn't see to set the clock anyway.
What is the solution?
Mama's home holding the hands on the clock for 11 hours till it's right again.
When she gets through, I hope the clock will reciprocate.
Reciprocate?
Yes, I hope the clock will hold your mother's hands until she's right again. But tell me about... Oh, say, just a minute, mister. Now, I didn't say come in, did I?
Well, that's me all over. I just couldn't wait. I'm the impulsive type.
Did you want something?
Yes. Which one is Fred Allen?
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm Alan. What is this?
Oh, Mr. Allen, you're my favorite comedian. I hope I'm not intruding. I just had to tell you.
Now, look.
My wife and I never miss one of your programs.
Now, wait a minute.
I just go around our neighborhood screaming. I go from door to door yelling, that Fred Allen is the one. I'd yell it from the housetops, but I get dizzy up that high.
Now,
the neighbors twit me. They say, oh, you and your long puss, Fred Allen.
Hold it. Oh, just a minute, brother. If you can't hold it, set it down. I'll help you with it. What is your, name again?
Jerkfinkel.
Jerkfinkel.
The name is Logan Jerkfinkel.
Weren't you on Jack Benny's program last Sunday?
Of course he was, and the Sunday before he was on. Why, you gave Benny and Don Wilson this same routine.
Well, what if I did?
First, Benny was your favorite, then Don Wilson. Tonight, I am. Why don't you make up your mind?
I'm fickle. Goodbye.
That guy. That guy doesn't know who he likes.
My real favorite is Bob Hope.
I ought to give Benny this whole program and get a fresh one. This has been used. I ought to get another program.
Your two programs are getting mixed up, all right. Rochester was with you last Wednesday.
Van Steeden was on Benny's show Sunday night. Yeah, Van Steeden and Phil Harris made that program sound as though it was Benny on We the People.
Well, I thought Peter and Phil were very good.
They sounded like an East Side Lum and Abner. Well, enough about the Waukegan Woolcott. What about our guest tonight?
His occupation is a most unusual one.
Really?
Yes. This gentleman is one of the country's leading worm hunters.
A worm hunter? Is that a business, bagging worms?
Oh, you'll have to ask our guest. Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Robert Bradley.
Well, good evening, Mr. Bradley.
Good evening, Fred.
Portland advises me, Mr. Bradley, that you are a worm nimrod. That you have made a profession of snaring the elusive and legless invertebrate.
That is correct, Fred. Worms are my stock in trade.
Well, I don't know a great deal about worms, Mr. Bradley. To me, a worm is just a nudist caterpillar. Now, do you collect worms as a hobby?
No, Fred. I supply worms to private aquariums, hatcheries, and pet shops.
Oh, as food for fish.
That's right.
Well, you are sort of a guppy chef. An Oscar of the fishbowl. Well, how did you ever get started in this unique profession, Mr. Bradley?
Well, as a boy, I liked to collect fish.
Well, how did you digress from collecting fish to hunting worms?
Well, the fish I collected got hungry, and I had to provide their food.
Oh, I see. Well, how can you tell when a fish is hungry, Mr. Bradley? Now, when a fish is swimming around in a bowl, you can't tell if its mouth is watering. Or can you?
Yes, it's very easy to tell. The fish looks anemic and lifeless.
It's just fin and bones, huh? Well, I guess when you've taken a fish away from its mother, you've got to supply the fodder. How did you cope with your... That's one of those jokes with hands on it. The new joke they're selling comedians now. How did you cope with your fish problem, Mr. Bradley?
Well, I experimented with various worms and water insects to find the best food.
And when you found them, you decided to go into business?
That's right. On the side, I started raising and breeding tropical fish.
Well, tell me, what are a fish's favorite foods, Mr. Bradley? Now, suppose Broadway was underwater tonight, and the goldfish came down off the Wrigley sign and swam into McGinnis's Cafe. What would tempt him on the bill of fare?
The goldfish would probably order Chironomus Lavi or Tubifex Rivalorum.
Chironomus Lavi?
Or Tubifex Rivalorum.
Those sound like the names you'd expect to find on a Greek Pullman car. Well, what is this Chironomus Lavi?
Chironomus Lavi is just a bloodworm.
Oh, I see. Well, what about the Chironomus's straight man, that Kleenex Rivoli or whatever the other one was?
The Tubifex is about the same size as the Chironomus, but thinner.
Oh, without the paunch and jowls, huh? Well, tell me, Mr. Bradley, how do you manage to catch these worms? Now, do you lie down in Central Park and make a noise like a rotten apple? Or do you have a decoy worm or a robin on your wrist as a falcon?
I'd be wasting time in Central Park, Fred. Both of these worms are only found in muddy streams and ponds.
Well, where do you have to go to stalk the digest reptile?
I cover swamps and marshes in upper New York State, Long Island, and New Jersey, Fred. Occasionally, I've had to go almost to Philadelphia.
Why do you have to go so far? Are the worms around here getting wise to you?
No, the government projects have drained off most of the nearby swamps, and the worms go elsewhere.
Well, I guess to you, PWA means pushing worms around.
I'm not complaining, Fred, but in my business, mud is essential.
Yes, it's the same in politics. Well, after you found a place where you think worms are putting on the bog, how can you tell if they're really there?
It's partly a matter of instinct, Fred.
Well, say, if you can just look at mud and tell it has worms in it, you must be the Wizard of Ooze. How do you do it?
Sometimes I tell by color. Mud that contains worms has a slight greenish tinge.
When you've located a worm preserve, how do you get the little quagmire cobra to come up? Do you go in the wormhole, and then when the worm looks out to see who it is, do you tie a knot in him so he can't get back down the hole again?
It's not that complicated, Fred. I just scoop up the mud and wash the worms out later.
Oh, you wash the worms out? How?
I spread the mud out in trays and put a covering of sand over it.
Why the sand?
As water is run gently through the mud, the worms crawl up through the sand. The sand cleans them off as they come up.
Say, you have all the elements of a nightclub there, Mr. Bradley. A little dirt, a little liquid, a cover, and the customer comes out clean. After you get your stock ready for the market, how do you dispose of them?
I don't have any trouble selling my worms, Fred. Thousands of people today are keeping fish as a hobby.
Well, thanks a lot for all of this data you've so kindly given us about worms, Mr. Bradley. The future looks bright for you indeed. If you ever tire of your profession, you can always go to work for the Internal Revenue Department.
How do you mean, Fred?
Why, if the Income Tax Department ever wants any confidential information about people's tax figures, you are the man to worm it out of them.
Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Mr. Robert Bradley. Thank you. And now Miss Wynne Murray arrives right on time to sing for us. My man. All right, Wynne.
It's cost me a lot, but there's one thing that I've got. It's my man. Cold and wet, tired, you bet, but all that I soon forget with my man. He's not much for looks and no hero out.
Here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, following the popular trend in spring entertainment, we have a slight questionnaire for you in two parts. Now, if you can answer no, honestly and sincerely, to the questions in the first part, you will be excused from participation in the second part. Now, question number one.
Do you ever wake up in the morning feeling grouchy and sluggish?
Question number two.
Does your morning's work seem such an awful task that you fold up in the afternoon?
Number three.
Do you feel dragged out by evening, too tired to romp with the children?
Those of you who answered no to those questions may relax. The rest of you are invited cordially to listen carefully to this next part.
If you are feeling under par, ladies and gentlemen, and need a laxative, a glass of sparkling sal hepatica quickly helps you feel your best again. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Round Table, where three persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on a question that concerns some prominent issue of the day. These little sessions are entirely unrehearsed.
Oh, excuse me, Fred, Harry, I thought you were through.
Well, I was just going to say, Fred, that you've taken your place, and if you're ready, you can go right ahead.
All right, thank you, Harry. The forum, somebody left a gavel in here. Do you know what radio show uses a gavel anymore?
I have no idea.
Huh?
No. Sorry.
All right, then I'll open it by hand as usual. I will not give in to the machine age. All right, Portland, if you kindly introduce our first guest.
Yes, Sheriff Tom Ward from Ozone Park, Long Island.
Good evening, Sheriff.
Good evening, Miss Allen.
You are not here on business, I hope, Sheriff.
No,
Oh, it's rather late for business, Mr. Allen.
You, well, to a sheriff, any old time's all right in the pinch, isn't it?
That's right.
Sheriff, may I ask where you're stationed?
I'm sheriff of the Ford building at the World's Fair.
You mean you're starting to work over there now in the fair?
No, sir. I've been there 15 months, Mr. Allen.
You've been at the fair all during the winter?
Yes, sir.
Well, wasn't it pretty lonesome over there, just the trial on the perisphere and you?
Yes, it was, Mr. Allen, but we had a lot of snow and it was very nice over there during the winter months.
I see. Well, you had company, too. The men were tearing down the Russian building, weren't they?
Oh, yes. There's lots of excitement over there, too.
A lot of company. The Russia isn't represented at the fair this coming season, is it?
No, Mr. Allen, it is not.
Well, now that they've got the red out of the fair, if they can get the fair out of the red, they'll... Tell me, how does the fair look, Mr. Ward, for the coming season?
Well, Mr. Allen, it's going to be bigger and better than ever.
I read in the paper that Mr. Ford is building a new theater, amphitheater, in conjunction with the same exhibit he had last year.
That's right. He's built a beautiful theater, and he's going to have a fine novel show over there, and the first show is going to be a horse opera.
A horse... There must be some place where you can't see Benny for 50 cents. Well, I know that Mr. Ford had a... Well, I think we leave on that happy note, Mr. Ward. Leave Mr. Benny locked in Mr. Ford's theater in our minds, where we would like to treasure him in our later years. Thank you, Sheriff. Now, Portland.
Miss Marie Hartman from New York City.
Excuse me, Miss Hartman. I was just bawling out my cast. I'm writing Afra about you. Miss Hartman, may I ask your profession?
I'm a hostess in a nightclub.
A hostess in a nightclub?
Yes.
Well, thank you. I was going to... Unfortunately, I haven't a great deal of time tonight, Miss Hartman. That is an industry I would like to question you about at length. But unfortunately, I've got to rush on to my question of the week, and I shan't be able to take it up. I was going to ask you several... I imagine the most strenuous form... the strenuous part of hostess work that I know would be the hostess in dance hall, wouldn't it?
I imagine so, yes.
I don't know. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He tells me there's a dance hall down here on Broadway. It's one of those places up one flight. And I guess business has been pretty bad there the last couple of years. He went in there the other night for a dance, and the girl, the hostess, came over, and he went on the dance floor, and she started doing the Peabody. So I don't imagine they've had a customer in there for 8 or 9 years. Well, thank you, Miss Hartman. And now, Portland.
Mr. Walter Weibel from Inwood, New York.
Well, good evening, Mr. Weibel.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
May I ask your... you are not the gentleman who went into the dance hall where the girl danced with people the other. May I ask your profession?
Yes, I'm a used car salesman.
You sell used cars? And how is business in the used car?
Business is picking up right now, Mr. Allen.
Well, it is. Of course, a lot of used cars, things are dropping off all of the time. I was going to say... reflection, Mr. Weibel. I didn't mean to intimate that your used cars out there in Inwood. What I was going to say is, if you were considering getting into the new car business, Mr. Sheriff Ward is here from the Ford Enterprises and can probably get them for your wholesale. I don't know. I know he'd be glad to take it up. Well, that about brings us to our question. And tonight we take up a custom that has stirred up comment pro and con for many years. It's the Dutch treat. Dutch treat is defined as the practice of a person participating in a function at which each guest is supposed to pay his or her share of the expense. Now, today, many girls who work earn larger salaries than their boyfriends. And our question tonight is, should a boy keeping company with a girl pay for meals and theater tickets when they go out together? Or should the girl, if she is working, insist on paying her share and going Dutch treat? Now, Sheriff Ward, what do you think about the Dutch treat situation?
Why, Mr. Allen, I think that the boy should go for the works.
You think... tersely and well put, Sheriff Warren. That's the old bull of a slogan. If you can't go for the case, why don't you go for the work? Well, Miss Hartman, feel about the Dutch tree?
Well, I imagine the man should pay.
You think that the man should pay?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever grabbed up a check? I mean, the spirit of Dutch treat running rampant at the moment. Have you ever been inclined to reach for the check in the company of a boyfriend?
No, I can't say that I have.
You have?
No.
Well, there's no time to, like the present to stop. But all right, Miss Hartman, you and Sheriff Ward both think that the girl should be absolved from any part of the expense. And now, Mr. Weibel, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'd like to third the motion, Mr. Allen, that the man should stand the expense.
The man should stand. Well, I suppose, and starting tonight on, we can discard that old slogan, the woman always pays. Well, our committee stands 3-0 for men coming through in the pinch as usual. Our little discussion tonight, I'm sure, has settled practically nothing, and I doubt if the Dutch treat will ever become popular among the girls of this generation. For when a girl goes out with a fellow today, she doesn't expect to take him for better or worse. She hopes to take him for everything. This dulcet note of feminine duplicity, our meeting is adjourned, and thank you all very much for your kind support. The Merrimacks now sing, "Woulds That I Could Kiss Thy Hand." "Woulds That I Could Kiss Thy Hand" was written by a man who later got a mouthful of nail polish and retracted the whole thing.
Would could I but kiss thy hand, oh babe, oh babe. Dost thou know I think thee grand, oh babe, oh babe. Alas, but how my heart is torn.
And now the mighty Alan, Art players. Tonight, I just want to give Crosby a little scare out there on the.
Boom, 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 boom.
Well, tonight, the mighty Alan Art players present a burlesque of one of radio's most popular programs. It's called Information Tease. Oh, the guest is always right, except on a quiz program. Music, Arturo.
And so, to the soggy, saccharine strains of Kiss Me Again, we bid adieu to Wayne Lefkowitz and his overripe melody. Until this same time next week, Wayne Lefkowitz hopes you'll remember his slogan and keep waiting for Lefke. Good night.
This is Station FOO, operating with a frequency that gets on your nerves. And now, we present Information Tease. Stop snoring, America. Time to stump the experts. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Information Tease is entirely unrehearsed. You, the public, match wits with our board of experts. And if your question stumps them, you receive $10 plus a complete unabridged set of Sears Roebuck catalog. Yes, folks, $10 and a handsome set of Sears Roebuck catalogs bound in burlap will be sent to you by our sponsors, the makers of Mother Murphy's Meatballs. Yes, folks. Mother Murphy's Meatballs. The only meatballs that contain helium. Your delicatessen man knows helium as Yokotate Fornostrophi. Is a Mother Murphy meatball just another meatball? A hamburger in pill form? No. Mother Murphy's meatballs contain
vitamin A for strength,
vitamin B for blood,
vitamin B flat for a laugh.
And Mother Murphy's meatballs also contain a small quantity of liquid rubber. If you drop a Mother Murphy meatball on the floor, don't be embarrassed. It'll bounce right back on your plate. Have fun with your meatballs, folks. Play potsy with them. Dribble them up and down the table. Tie a meatball on your spaghetti and make a yo-yo.
buy them. Buy, spelled a B, a U, a Y.
And now Information Tease presents our master of ceremonies, the noted literary critic, Mr. Tifton Batterman.
Good evening, thank you, thank you. Good evening, thank you, thank you. Good evening, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On our board of experts tonight, we have our three regulars as usual, the celebrated newspaper columnist, Franklin O'Badams, better known to you perhaps as F.O.B., the famous sports writer and animated encyclopedia, John Tiernan, and the noted music authority and part-time extemporaneous wit, Mr. Oscar Bivant.
Hiya, folks. As Beethoven said to Mozart, notes to you.
Mr. Bivant is in a gay mood tonight. Well, that is just a sample of the spontaneous, unrehearsed fun on our program, folks. And now, as our guest expert, may I present the famous Republican congressman, the author of the recent political expose called What Am I Getting Out of Washington? Is it the train? Meet the Republican representative, Barnaby Fluke. Say something to the folks, Congressman.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go on.
I think I got stage fright.
Well, don't worry, Congressman. You'll get over it.
Look, why can't I just go to the Union League Club and lay down?
No, never lie down at the Union League Club, Congressman. They might bury you by mistake. Well, enough spontaneous, unrehearsed fun for now. It's time for our questions. And our first question tonight comes from Mrs. Ima Wack of Rat Falls, Arkansas. Mrs. Wack says there are three colors in the American flag. She wants you to name two of the colors. All right, Mr. Badams.
Blue.
That is right. Blue is one of the colors in the American flag. Mr. Bivant.
White.
White is right.
Red.
Red is correct, Mr. Tiernan. The three colors in the American flag are blue, white, and red. You are only asked to get two. You got three. Remarkable, gentlemen. Our next question comes from Harley Drab of Cheesecake, Ohio, RFD number 7. Mr. Drab wants you to complete the following quotation. I like coffee, I like tea, I like the girls, and the girls like... Well?
That's a tough one.
Well, oh, now, come. Oh, don't give up, gentlemen. Get your thinking caps on. Ah, Mr. Badams. You had your hand up, Mr. Badams?
No, I'm just wetting my colic.
Oh, sorry. You should milk your colic, Mr. Badams. Well, can anyone complete the rhyme?
Will you read the quotation again?
Gladly, Mr. Bivant. I like coffee. I like tea. I like the girls, and the girls like... Can you finish it, Congressman?
I got stage fright.
Oh, my God. Now, for the last time, gentlemen, I like the girls, and the girls like...
Gable?
No, Mr. Bivant. Who is the greatest musical genius in America today?
Me.
That is correct, Mr. Bivant. The girls like me. Absolutely correct. Oscar. Bravo. It is I who say it. Now, this next question... Mr. Rockford Fumes of Bedspread, Iowa, sends in a puzzler. It seems here to be a question on fish. Quiet, gentlemen, please. You are asked to identify the following fish by the sounds they make underwater. Now, Mr. Fumes wants us to get three out of three. Here is the first sound. Mr. Badams.
That's the Piscatoris blue platypus or male halibut calling its mate.
Correct. And now the second sound.
That's the mate answering.
And what is she saying, Mr. Badams?
Cut out the bubble top, big boy.
I got stage fright.
Nobody asked you. This is no place to start a digest filibuster here. Now sit down. Now, Mr. Badams, the third and last sound in your fish trilogy All right, Mr. Baddams.
I can't seem to place that sound. What is it?
It's a fellow in Liggett's finishing a chocolate soda.
Wait a minute. You said a fish.
The man's name is Trout.
Oh. Phil, I've been robbed.
Rockford Fumes, the man who sent in this question, happens to be my brother-in-law, Mr. Baddams.
Oh.
And so, $10 and a complete set of Sears robots. Go to Mr. Rockford Fumes of Bedspread, Iowa. And now our next... Take your hand out of that cash register, Congressman.
Charlotte, I thought I was still in Washington.
Well, the Congressman's spontaneous, unrehearsed fun seems to have brought us to the halfway mark. And our experts, of course, Mother Murphy's meatballs, the trifling sum of $10. And now a word from our announcer, Milton Dross.
Have you tried a Mother Murphy's meatball lately? Remember, Mother Murphy's meatballs come in three delicious flavors. With a few onions, with plenty of onions, and few past the lifesaver.
Mr. Milton Dross has consumed exactly 8 9/10 seconds.
I beg your pardon, Tifton. It was 9 8/10 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. My watch must be fast.
Yes, well, my watch is never wrong.
I know, but my watch, unfortunately, my brother loaned me his watch tonight. He was going to sing at an Elks Club. He was going to sing I didn't know what time it was and didn't want to have the watch on him and be deceitful while he was singing. So he loaned me the watch, apparently, at short. But getting back to information, please, Mr. Denby Sting of Nill, Nebraska, wants you gentlemen to complete the following musical phrase at the piano. Now listen carefully, gentlemen. Can you finish this running call, Congressman Fluke?
Do, boy.
You are without a doubt the dumbest guest ever. We have ever had on information tees.
I got stage fright.
Never mind. Who can complete this hunting call? Let's have it again.
I can complete that phrase. Wait till I get to the piano.
Mr. Bivant is going to the piano. He's making a concession. The piano generally comes to him. Well, ready, Mr. Bivant?
Ready. Here it is.
Mr. Bivant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, here it is.
Getting warm, Mr. Bivant.
I've got it.
Mr. Bivant, we salute your unerring musical genius. Now, the next question, Congressman, is right up your alley along with your constituents. Farnham Bagg of East Haddock, Vermont, asks you to name the last three vice presidents of these United States.
Let me see. The last three, but I got two to go for.
I think the congressman is finally coming through.
Now, wait a minute. The reason the call
about... Don't weaken. Where were you, congressman?
I got stage fright.
Hey, Tifton. Mother Murphy, our sponsor, is coming.
Good heavens.
I've stood enough of this, Mr. Batterman. It's got to stop right now.
Dear Mother Murphy.
Dear Mother, my bustle. What's wrong with our congressman?
Well, I don't know.
He's spoiling our show. He hasn't opened his mouth.
But I can't,
If you don't get this guest ninny to talk, you're all fired.
Well, I'll do my best, congressman. Congressman, who wrote Shakespeare's sonnets?
Shakespeare's sonnet. Let me see. Shakespeare's sonnet.
Now, I'll give you a hint. Was it Shake? Shake?
Oh, Shake, brother. Remember me in the next election.
Hopeless. The program's almost over, Mr. Batterman. You've got 42 seconds to make him talk or you're all fired.
Well, there must be some question here in my cards a congressman can answer.
He's a Republican, Tifton. Ask him something about politics.
I've got it. Thank you, FOB. Oscar, rather. Here's a card that ought to do the trick. Here, congressman, take this card.
Okay.
Can you answer that question?
No, I got it.
Why, ladies and gentlemen, I will be delighted to answer this question.
Well, that's
better. It is a privilege and an honor to deal with this subject. I can state, without fear of contradiction...
All right, all right, Congressman. Time's up, Congressman. You can finish your answer next week. There you are, Mother Murphy. You wanted our guest to talk.
Yes, you've saved information tease, Mr. Betterman. How did you ever do it?
It only required the right answer to get the congressman started, Mother.
But what was the question?
Here it is. Read it yourself.
Who was the hero of the Battle of Manila?
Yes. If you want to get a Republican started today, all you've got to do is mention Dewey. Go back to sleep, America. Others may concern themselves with the book of the month, the play of the year, or the battle of the century, but it remains for your disobedient servant to cover the thought for the week. Did it ever occur to you that when a young man meets a young lady for the first time, he almost invariably says to her,
I'm awfully glad to meet you.
And then she smiles, and sometimes he says to himself,
oh, she was so pretty until she smiled.
And that's why we say to you, ladies and gentlemen,
don't let a dull, dingy smile spoil your attractiveness. Remember that your smile depends not only on bright teeth, but on healthy gums as well. So take the advice of the many dentists who say, use Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. Because they know that Ipana is made not only to clean and brighten your teeth, but when used with massage, to stimulate your gums. To help give them the exercise they need but fail to get from the soft, creamy, well-cooked food.